Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of 118.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For, lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, long-suffering, and good-doing God, thou who dost spare each and every one of us when others are so suddenly taken away, O that thou may give to us an understanding heart, that we may be able to see the blessings, and that we may receive that true humility before Thee to come unto Thee in dust and in ashes. For we are careless of ourselves, and we attempt so often to approach unto a holy and a righteous God without those right and proper feelings and a sense of our own wretchedness and our own undeservedness. But wilt Thou fill us with a true humility, and wilt Thou give us truly a place also at Thy footstool? For it is from Thee alone that all our blessings do come. Thou art our Creator, but Thou art also our Provider, our Sustainer. And outside of Thy providence, there is not one of us that can so much as move. Oh, that we may receive then also in this afternoon hour a cry unto Thee. For Thou knowest the hearts and the lives of each and every one, and the many needs that live within us, that Thou may supply for all those that mourn. And when there are those that are taken away from us whom that we love, and Thou knowest all the circumstances of each and every one, that Thou may supply for those that mourn, and that Thou may give us understanding hearts, that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life, because we are from our own side unbelievers, and we do not believe that it is one day going to come upon us, and we live as if we will remain here forever. Oh, that Thou may give us to hasten for the sake of our life, and that we may draw nigh to Thee not only for the blessings of the time, but that the need of our souls may be bound upon our hearts. And then in a special way, when we are come together in this afternoon, in this day, to begin a week of preparation for Thy holy supper. O Lord, then Thou knowest the heart of each one better than we know our hearts ourselves. And Thou dost declare in Thy holy word that our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they are desperately wicked, so that we will excuse ourselves on so many sides, and that we will attempt to attribute unto ourselves a goodness which does not belong unto us. Oh, that Thou may undeceive us. Wilt Thou make us true? Wilt Thou make us honest with ourselves before Thee? For Thou seest the inmost recesses of our hearts, and we can hide nothing from Thee. Oh, one day we will stand before Thy all-piercing eye. It is, as we read in Thy word, it was seen by Thy servant as a flame of fire. Oh, then it will penetrate. Oh, that Thou may give us a feeling realization thereof. Oh, that we may truly come before Thee with that desire of Thy servant when he did ask of Thee to search him. And that Thou wouldst try him
and that thou wouldst see if there be any wicked way in him, and lead him in the way everlasting. O Lord, that we also may come in such a true way, that we may put away all that which does hinder us upon our journey to that great eternity. For we can read of a Demas who had forsaken thy servant, having loved this present world. Oh, then there is so much in this world that does say, turn aside and see for a moment, which will distract a pilgrim upon his way. Oh, Lord, that we may be given then in this week that is to come to look within ourselves and in our own life, and that we may be given to examine our life and our hearts, and that we may be given to examine thy holy word, and that thou may give unto thy own people a token for good. For what desire they more than to know if they are thine? Oh, 'tis the point that I long to know thy servant did right. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Oh, Lord, then there is a people that desire to know that truth, and thou knowest where that they are. Oh, their cry that goes out to thee, thou hearest from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thou may show them also a little token, and that we may be given also in this afternoon to lay out a little what that life is, and that there may be a matter whereby each and every one is able to examine his own heart. And wilt thou give, and we have no desire for these things, that there may be planted within us a new life. Oh, that there may come for the first time in our life, whether we are young or whether we are old, that is so important and necessary, holy jealousy. Even as we read of a Ruth of old that did cleave unto Naomi, saying, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Oh, that they may be born among our youth, that they may be born among the old ones and the middle-aged. Oh, that they may be born on the right and on the left, that they may be born, Lord. For thou dost say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, that life that comes from thee, our natural life, thou alone can give it. And that soul's life, thou alone can give it. Lord, we beseech it of thee. Remember thy people, for we have sung it together, of him who did say that he had gone with the multitude, with the voice of joy and with praise. Oh, then he could remember that day, but all the power that had gone out of it, the desires they had languished. Oh, Lord, we read it in thy word, a bride sleeping upon a bed. Oh, that thou wouldst come and knock, for thou wast the first in the beginning, and thou must be the first by continuance. And then wilt thou give, that thy bride may hear thy voice again, when all things have grown so cold, and when there is even perhaps a drawing after this world. Oh, that thou wouldst come again, Lord, and that thou wouldst revive thy own work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. And because we can do nothing but sin ourselves on the outside, But wilt thou care for thy people? Thou didst think upon them when thou wast even going in that night into the garden, there to suffer in thy soul, and there to sweat drops of great blood. O Lord, that thou may give, that care and concern that thou didst show in that night when thou didst institute for the sake of thy church, even unto the end of the world, that also may touch the heart of thy people, that they may be drawn once again, and that they might run after thee. Wilt thou remember all of us together round about thy holy word of truth? Lord, give us strength for the work that is laid upon us in this afternoon. And wilt thou give us what is necessary in our mind to lay it out in a clear way? Take away all the hindrances and give us thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us? Glorify thy own name. Feed us with manna from heaven, and give us to drink a little out of that rock, that spiritual rock of which does follow thy church. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. The last collection today is for the periodicals, Psalter 389, 1, 3, and 4. beloved congregation. Next week, the Lord willing, then we hope to commemorate the Holy Supper of the Lord. That is a supper that was instituted by Christ Himself and that had a purpose. That is, it has to do with the weakness of faith. Thus, in and by that supper, the Lord, He says to His own church, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Thus, that supper that is not only a sign, as the Zwinglians say, but it is also a seal. Thus, it has to do with the assurance of faith. It has to do with the confirmation of faith. A seal. The benefits of a seal, however, can never be received outside of uprightness of heart. Just like a stolen document that is not giving confirmation to a man, it is not giving assurance to a man, even though it has within it, upon it, a seal. It might give boldness. It gives boldness to a hypocrite when a man is standing, young people, at the border, and he is going to hand in a stolen document. That is, a document that has a seal on it, a passport, a birth certificate. And then that document is giving to him a certain boldness before the authorities, that he dares, with that document, to go forward in his evil way. But that document does not give to him, though it contains that seal, that document does not give to him true rest, true peace in his heart. But it is now so different when that document that has my own name on it, and when I know in the uprightness of my heart that that document with that seal that is my own, because then I am given an assurance in my heart that I am by that seal recognized by the authorities. That is now the importance of self-examination before the Holy Supper of the Lord. Because that supper as a seal that will seal nothing to a man who is not upright in his heart. Outside of uprightness, there is no benefit. Worse, we read in God's Word that a man, he is eating and he is drinking a certain judgment unto himself. Not an eternal judgment, but a judgment of hardening. But now when the heart is true, when the heart is upright, when the heart that is honest in it, then that declaration of the Lord containing that seal of the Lord that is being received in that heart with power. May the Lord give to us then that blessed uprightness and in this week of preparation
And we wish to begin this with the Lord's help in this hour by considering the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, the third verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3, where we read, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." So far the words of our text. The beloved of the church compared to the apple tree among the trees of the wood. First, the singularity of this apple tree. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Singularity. Second, the shadow of this apple tree. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And third, the fruit of this apple tree, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Thus, the beloved of the church, compared to the apple tree among the trees of the wood, first the singularity, second the shadow, and third the fruit of this apple tree. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Who is speaking here? This is the bride. She speaks concerning the bridegroom. But she is not the first that speaks, because the church is never the first. There is indeed a people within the outward church that are the first. But when the work that is coming from us, then that work needs to be maintained by us, and that work needs to be finished by us. And it will never be. But when the Lord is first, though that work seem to diminish, though that work seem to be completely gone by times, when the Lord is the first, the Lord is also in his time returning unto his church, and he is ending, he is finishing that work that he has begun. He is therefore called the Alpha, and he is called the Omega. He is the beginning, and he is the end. And this is the longer that the church lives here on this earth, that is one of the greatest comforts in the life of that people. So it is not she that begins. No, it was he that had begun. As we read in verse 1 and 2, we read here, "I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys." That is the voice of the bridegroom. And then he commends himself unto his bride. He speaks of himself as the rose, as the lily to his church. That is, with a most blessed fragrance, with a most blessed smell, that is an alluring, that is a drawing fragrance unto his church. But then he compares the church itself afterwards to a lily, that is like unto himself. That is for the resemblance that that church bears unto him. We can read how that God has created man bearing a resemblance unto himself, that he was created in his image, that he was created in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness. That is now a resemblance which has been completely lost by us. Oh, then there are sparks of that image yet to be seen here among men in an outward, in an external way. But concerning that image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, that is now completely lost. But now Christ, he is comparing that church as a lily unto himself. Thus we read something of the restoration of that church into that image of the Lord himself. As the lily, he says, among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. What does he call her? He calls her my love. Who can fathom this? But that is now where the salvation of that church begins. In his love, when he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, that is now the beginning of the salvation of that church. And that is now the end of the salvation of that church. And this love, this church, this people of his own, he says that they are dwelling here among the daughters of the world. So is my love among the daughters. As we can read that the Lord, he speaks to the church in Pergamos, and he says, I know where thou dwellest. Even, he says, where Satan's seat is. And now the Lord, he comforts his love. He comforts his church with declaring his awareness of where that she is. He says that she is as a lily among thorns. Thus he is aware. He knows that she is as a lily which is among the thorns of affliction, the thorns of persecution, the thorns of trial, of tribulation. And so we have the context of the words of our text, which are an answer unto the consolations of her beloved, by which that he is rising more and more in the estimation of the bride. And she compares him then to an apple tree, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Thus, as she describes the preference of her heart for him, just as she says the apple tree is among the trees of the wood. So when you would look among all the trees of the wood, and then there is one tree that is for special reasons that is singled out. That is, as we can read and we hope to hear later, that is for its shadow, that is for its fruit, and that tree now is superior to all the other trees of the wood. So she singles out that one tree, and so she singles also out her beloved. She says he is singular. He is more than all the other trees of the wood among the sons. That is, among all the sons. Well, we read of the angels, they are called sometimes the sons of God. That is, that he is more than all the sons of God. He is more than all the sons of men in the world. He is more than all the sons even of the church of God.
Thus, she is expressing something of what he has become unto her. And this estimation that she has in her heart for him, that is now the chief point of examination concerning that Holy Supper of the Lord. Why? Because when there will be a gathering, when the Lord will permit it next week, then it is around a table which has everything to do with him. There upon that table do lie the tokens. They are the tokens of his love for his own church. They are the tokens of his suffering. They are the tokens of his death. And therefore, there must be a special estimation in our heart for him. Thus, he must have become unto us singular, even as the bride does say, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Thus, if Christ has never been made precious unto our soul, then we ought not to come unto the table of the Lord. Then we receive nothing but bread and wine. Then we receive no sealing in our heart. Worse, we eat and drink judgment unto ourselves. That is, congregation, a very significant estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Why? Because we are born different. And we are each and every one of us by nature different. We read Isaiah, he says how it is with us. He says there is in him to us no beauty that we should desire him. There is in him no form. There is in him no comeliness. Is that not true, young people? That there is in him nothing that we see, that we say, how is that? That is a person, he will see beauty, that he will see preciousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, when the bride, she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons, then that represents a very, very great change. And if it is now true that he who was before one that we saw no beauty in, that he who had no form to us, there was no comeliness in him, that now we see in him such a singular beauty as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, that choice one, then there has been a very great change in our life. And then it is necessary that we know what has changed. Then what has happened? What has made him to be beautiful to your soul, whom before had no beauty? Then we must be able to tell this. No, we do not say that you need to know the moment of true conversion. Then we do not say you need to know the moment of your new birth, because a child also does not know that moment that he was born. But now the moment that Christ has become precious, the moment that we have seen the smallest part of His beauty, that is now a moment that we will know of. That is now something that we will be able to tell in our life. And if we do not know, then we do have to question, and we do have to say, oh, is it really so that He is precious unto me? We read of that man the Lord Jesus spoke of, he had no wedding garment. And then it was asked of him, how camest thou in hither? Thus it will also be asked of us, how camest thou in? How came he to be precious unto thee? We go to our second thought, the shadow of this apple tree, because there is a good reason that this bride, she is calling him her beloved among the sons. That is because of what she has experienced of him. And then we read in the first place of what she experienced of his shadow. She says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. What is a shadow? Children, you know what a shadow is. And a shadow that has a certain representation in the Word of God. Sometimes then it is speaking about our life. That is just like a shadow. Shadow, well, that actually there is nothing there, is it? And a shadow that is coming and then it is going away. And then it is speaking about our life. Do you believe that, boys and girls? That our life, that is just like a shadow, that is going to come, that is going to disappear. Well, here, and then that word shadow is not being used in such a way, but it is speaking about the relief that a person is receiving when he is laboring under the heat of the sun. Maybe you seek the sun because there are people, they lay out under the sun. And if we are laying out under the sun, well, then we are not seeking the shadow. No, we are seeking to be away from the shadow. But if a man, he has to labor in that sun, and he has to labor in the heat of the day, then it is so very different, because then that shadow that is something different to him. Then that shadow is, in the heat of the sun, a very welcome relief. And so Solomon is here expressing the relief. The relief that a church is receiving, who is laboring under the heat of the law. The rich young ruler did not find the law to be burdensome unto him. And that is no different with many persons. That is no different with all men in this world by nature. No man, he is actually going unto the law. Man, he is actually seeking out the law, and he is using the law even in a hypocritical way for a relief of the burdens of his own conscience. You say, how is that possible? And it's so. Why? Because a man then does not desire to see the perfection of the law. then a man is not affected with the holiness of God. A man, he is not affected with the spirituality of the law. He says, when I have done no outward murder, then I have kept that law. And we are making all kinds of excuses for ourselves that, well, we are no different than our neighbor. Our sins, we call them imperfections. We just do not reach that a certain height, but, well, that curse of the law, no, that is not coming to us. And we do not find the law to be a hard schoolmaster. Then we are only lightly accused by it. And we are able to live, as it were, in that city of morality without a burden. But let now the Spirit of the Lord bring that law into our conscience. Let the Spirit of the Lord lay that law with weight upon our heart. And then we will find it very different. Then it will be unto us as a man who is laboring under the burning sun. Because that law that is threatening our destruction. So Bunyan said it. Of his Christian, he says that it will sink me into Tophet. It will sink me into hell. Indeed, that law is loved. Oh, how love I thy law, we read. It is my meditation all the day, and not only the entire word, but also and especially the law, the statutes, the precepts of the Lord. Oh, the heart that is drawn unto that law in that new life, with desires to live according to that law, because the Lord, He is holy. Children, if the Lord will convert you, then that law will have a large place in your life. Then you will desire only to do that which is right. Then you will not lie anymore. Then you will not do away from father and mother what you will not do before their face. No, because the love of the Lord that will draw you also unto the law of the Lord. The love of your mother, of your father, that draws you to the word of your mother and your father, that draws you to their precepts, to their commands. Then you want to listen to them. Then you want to obey them. That is now the work of the Lord in His people. Thus, that law that has a large place. But what happens? Oh, slowly, step by step. And then that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, he is finding something out. Oh, we have heard a little of that this morning in that work of sanctification. Oh, and then it is a disappointing life. A life by which they say, I cannot keep this law. Because within my heart, there is nothing but transgression. Then they feel that they are corrupt from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. David, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, that is what is felt. That is what is experienced. And this is what is now placing that people not on the inside, young people. It is what is placing that people on the outside, that is, in their own estimation. But we read Ruth said, "Oh," she said to Boaz, "though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." Oh, the desires in her heart, that they were after the Lord, and yet she felt that she was not one of his true people. But here Solomon, he says, "I sat down under his shadow with great delight." And this is now the experience of that people. When the Lord, to this church, is revealing something of his only begotten Son, when the law has done its work, when the law is cutting them off from all the works of their own flesh, when the law is bringing them, because of the love of their heart, into the impossibility, then Paul, he says, "He revealed his Son in me." Then the Lord is uncovering something. Then the Lord is uncovering those hidden works of darkness. Then the Lord is giving eyes to behold something of his only begotten Son. Then they may see him for a moment in the beauty of all his mediatorial engravings. Oh, then he reveals him in his active obedience. Then they may see for a moment what he has done upon that cursed tree. Oh, then they may enter a little with him for a moment to see something of that suffering of his soul. Then the Lord is opening a little of the perfection of that law and how that he has so completely obeyed. Oh, then the Lord is opening a little of the perfection of that sacrifice and what he has done for that church. And then the Lord is showing unto them something of the blessed attributes of the Son of God. And then the Lord is opening a little how that the Father, he has received the work of his only begotten Son. Oh, then in one moment, and then the soul is seeing something of the salvation of the Lord. Oh, the salvation of the Lord that they cannot themselves merit, but has been provided then from another side, so full, so complete, and so satisfying unto the Father. And the Lord is free to show the one more, to show the one less. But do you know what they all do experience in such a moment? Then they experience what the bride says. "I sat down under his shadow with great delight," because it is in that moment that the Lord is giving a little rest from all their labors. Or it is a moment that they may enter a little into that rest that remaineth unto the children of God. It is in that moment that he is to them as a shield, as a shadow of that apple tree against the rays of that burning sun, that he becomes to them as a hiding place from the wind, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, then that curse of the law, then they see how that it is possible and that they can be delivered from that curse. Oh, then they see how it is possible and that they also, with all of their iniquity, with all of their sin, then they see how it is possible in such a moment that they also could be received into that blessed favor of God. Though we do not say that lasts a long time, or it can be but just a few moments, that they may sit by the permission of the Lord under the shadow of that apple tree. Maybe just a few moments, but there is a delight that they do not forget. That then there is a shadow they do not forget. There is a relief that they do not forget. And thus their soul knows why that their soul chooses him. Their soul knows why that he has become so singular. Their soul knows why that it says that he is altogether lovely, that he is the chiefest among 10,000, that he is white and ruddy. Oh, their soul is acquainted with the reasons and can tell how that he has gone from no form and no comeliness unto as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And then they come time and again, O Lord, could I sit a little under that apple tree again, that I could receive a little relief, because, oh, that curse of the law that is felt whenever that people, they are wandering away from that apple tree. And when they are not given by the Spirit of the Lord to receive to sit under that shadow. But there is more. But let us sing first. 226 stanzas 1 and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, and my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. 1 and 3 of Psalter 226. as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. That is our third thought. The fruit of this apple tree. Thus, Solomon tells what the experience of the true church is. That is, concerning the fruits of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they are not just fruits that remained on that tree. They are not just fruits that that church, they may just behold, they may just look at. But Solomon speaks here about how that they tasted. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. What is that, children? Sweet. You know what sweet is? I think we don't have to explain that to anyone what sweet is, not to the youngest child. How do you know what sweet is? Only because you have tasted sweet. Have you never tasted sweet? You don't know what it is. So that is only something that can be recognized when we speak about sweetness. When a man, he would have no taste buds, then he would have no idea what the Word of God here would mean by sweetness. Never knew what that was. That is something that is only known by experience, and it then needs to be recognized by those who have tasted it. When the Lord reveals himself, then his people, they are tasting something. Tasting something. Thus, something is known. Something is felt. It is not happening just in the intellect of a person, merely. It is happening in his heart. And what is he now tasting? Well, he is tasting, the Lord says, sweetness. So sweetness, that is something that is extremely pleasant to us. That is very enjoyable. Sweetness that is a very alluring taste. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Sweetness is not a new taste to that people. Because already in the beginning of that life, that people learn what sweetness is, just like a little child. Or in the beginning of that life, when the Lord, he is pouring out of his love, when the Lord, he is drawing that people with the cords of love and with the bands of a man, do not know where that comes from. They do not understand that it is all coming out of him. That it is all coming out of that mediator. But that people are not strangers of what sweetness is. Because the Lord, he is not driving them. No, he has a willing people. The day of his power. Were you ever made willing, young people? Think of Ruth. She had every excuse. She wanted to go back to Moab, serve the world, serve the idols, others there, fathers there, brothers, sisters, maybe, friends. All in the world, every excuse she wanted. She didn't. How is that? Oh, that sweetness. Thy people, my people. Thy God, my God. Is that also experienced in our young people? Is it also experienced by our little children? Or is it experienced also by our older ones? But now the Lord, He also has to instruct that same people slowly, step by step. Why? Because they need to receive a foundation under their feet. And that instruction that is including food that is not all sweet. No, it is including food that is bitter, because they need to learn what the cause of their separation is. They need to learn how great that my sins and miseries are, because they need to learn the evil of sin, because they need to learn the incurableness of sin. And they are bitter lessons. They are hard lessons. Job says, Thou writest bitter things against me, and Thou makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Oh, everything. The Lord, He is bringing it back. We will have to give an account, young people, for every sin. And if we will not be judged in the last day, then it will become bitter to us in our life, in our lifetime, what we have done in thought, in word, and in deed. All that is a mysterious life. You do not think it is, don't think it is just a bitter life, because it is not. All it is love. Love that is drawing that people that was so bitter, oh Ruth, as she would have forsaken it. But it is not. And then on the other hand, that law, on the other hand, a mourning, then sin that becomes bitter, they have to smart for it. And why? Not because of consequences merely, but because it is against that Lord, that God, whom that they have come to love, and then not to be able to rid myself of it. A heart in which it continues. Oh, bitterness. The Lord makes them to feel their unworthiness, that they may come even as that publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And His fruit was sweet to my taste. This is now the experience of just that people. In the revelations of His Son, His only begotten Son, His well-beloved Son, when He is opening the mercy of that Son to a miserable creature, one who is not able to deliver himself, not only from the curse, but one who cannot deliver himself from the sin itself, weak through the flesh, and that people, who are, we would say, they are stuck. They are cursed. They are cut off. And the Lord, He does what? Then He whispers to that people. He says, I am not come to call the righteous, but I am come to call sinners unto repentance. And then they taste something. They taste a blessed sweetness. Oh, the Lord shows them something of the fruits, what it is for His church, what He has done, what He has bought for them, what He has accomplished for them, how that the law that is now perfectly kept for them, and how that punishment that is completely paid for them, and the Lord, he gives them to taste it. And then they taste a blessed, blessed sweetness. He opens his grace to an unworthy sinner as they do experience themselves to be each and every day. Oh, it is not only the sins of my youth, but it is the sins also of today. And then the Lord is coming. And then the people, they say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, they taste something of that sweetness. What is it? Well, they taste something of the kindness of the Lord. And it is now so sweet. Amidst all the bitterness of sin, amidst all the bitterness of the curse, the undeserved kindness of the Lord. And so free, so unfettered, and that is making it so sweet. Oh, they taste his goodwill. They taste something not of his wrath, but they taste something of his love to a creature who deserves to go lost. Or they taste a little what that prodigal experienced when his father, he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Or they taste something so, so sweet. No, then we do not mean that this people, they have now received that full assurance of faith. We do not mean that that people, they can now say, I am one of God's people. The Lord is my Father. Oh, young people, be careful, be careful. We live in days that man, with a hop, a skip, and a jump, he is coming to the highest state of grace, the highest experiences. That is not the normal way. That is not how we grow in this world. That is not how growth is taking place in the true church of God. And when you will hear it, young people, you put a big question mark there. Say, is that now the way one of God's people? When I was just young. And then he spoke a little about it. And then he said to me, is that now the way that the Lord is leading his people? Read it now in the Word of God. But the substance of that full assurance of faith that has the same taste as the smallest act of faith. Same taste. Here we read about tasting his fruit that was sweet to my taste. And that taste is the same whether it is little or whether it is much. It's only in a different measure. And now when we consider that holy supper of the Lord, and we are not asking about the full assurance of faith. No, that supper that is given for the weakness of faith. And the question now is, oh, has our soul ever tasted that the Lord is gracious? Oh, isn't that now the same in your heart? Can you say that from the bottom of your heart? It's the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons? Or has he ever become singular unto you? More than husband and wife, more than father or mother, more than son or daughter? Or as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, I know, it says in the Word of God that that same bride, she was laying on that bed of sloth, that same bride, and sleeping. We read of five wise, five foolish virgins, and we read they all, people of the Lord, they all slumbered and slept. Not only the foolish ones, but also the wise ones. Or they have not wisdom in themselves. And that bride, oh, she lay on that bed of sloth. You would say, oh, bride, there he is. He is standing and he is knocking. Why are you sleeping? Why are you sleeping? And that bride, she hears it. And she is waking. Her heart waketh, but she is sleeping. Oh, she cannot deliver herself from it. We cannot, not for the first time, and we cannot by renewal. It is impossible. It is his work. But now if you would say to that bride who is there sleeping and her heart is waking, you would say, do you remember? And then the tears, they will run down her face. And she says, oh, how can I forget? Oh, she will chastise herself. She will condemn herself for his sleeping. And yet that bride, he is yet unto her everything. As that apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is her beloved among the sons. O congregation, if we are not a stranger of this, then it means we have tasted something of that sweetness. If we are not a stranger of this, that means that we have known something of sitting under that shadow, be it for a moment in our life, be it for a moment. And if that is now true in your life, then the Lord bring you in all honesty, in all uprightness, and to say, he is my beloved. He is my beloved. And if we are a stranger of this, oh, then be careful. Then be careful. Then go to your home and say, oh, Lord, that I may know what it is to sit under that shadow, that I may know what it is to taste the sweetness of the fruits of thy suffering and death. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us a little food and drink out of thy word, a little self-examination in the week that is to come. Open it, O Lord, for thy people. When they are not strangers to this, then everything can be wrong from our side. But it is all right from thy side, and thou makest it right again. Oh, do so. Oh, may it be so in this week, and that people may be given to come and to confess what he is for their poor soul. And wilt thou look upon us, each one, in this way of self-examination, because We are servers of the devil by nature, who is the liar from the beginning. We are deceivers of ourselves. O Lord, make us upright. Make us honest. And wilt thou give that seal which thou hast given unto thy church may be for their confirmation in the week to come. Keep us all from a sudden and an unprepared death. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 164, 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 3 of 164.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessed.